lies, it's usually not a positive thing. Flies are nasty. Flies get on your food. Flies are annoying. Flies, something that gets in your house sometime and gets on something that you want to eat, and then it makes you not want to eat it. And I don't care how good the drink is, when I look down in there, if a fly's landed on the lid or got down in the drink, I don't want to drink it no more. And here Pharaoh is in chapter 8. They've done went through several plagues here. The first one wasn't a plague, but it's where where Moses' rod had swallowed up the other rods of Pharaoh's. And then the first plague was where the water was turned to blood. Second plague was where the frogs came up and began to get in the houses and the drawers and the pots. And you already know what's going on here, and you see how they're being affected. And the third plague is lice. If you've ever had any dealings with lice, how hard it is to get rid of them and cleaning, and how nasty that is, and how headache it can be. And now they've just got rid of lice, and now God is bringing a plague on them of flies. That's where we're at. Here the Bible said in verse 20, if you would stand for the reading of God's word, I just felt like saying that. I want you to pay attention to what's going on here this morning. The Bible said, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And said to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. And tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I will go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. You may be seated this morning. You'll notice here that every time Moses goes before Pharaoh, he said, the Lord said unto Moses. God's telling Moses what to say. And when we go to somebody and begin to witness to them, it ought to be what God has told us to tell them. Amen. I think sometimes we're not effective in our witnessing and trying to let people know that God loves them, because we're telling them what we think they need to hear instead of telling them what God said to tell them. I want you to know, it didn't seem like Moses was effective to start out with. took 10 plagues before they was able to be let go. And I want to say this, sometimes we don't get people to get let go from their sin because we don't stay with it. When's the last time you witnessed to the same person 10 times in a row, and every time you went, you said what God had told you to say? I remember when I was a little boy, I used to hear this a lot. Well, the Lord told me to tell you. I remember preachers used to preach and say, the Lord told me this morning at 3 o'clock, I need to let the people know. You don't hear that much anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, if it's going to be effective, it's going to have to come from the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. The Bible said that Moses rose up early in the morning and he stood before Pharaoh. God had told him, he said he's going to come forth to the water. And when he does, I want you to let him know that he needs to let the people go. Now, he had already tried it 3 times before with no avail. And let me say this morning with God's help. I've preached salvation many times here, and some of you still have not gotten loose from the devil. That don't mean you ain't going to get loose. God to deliver, and I'm glad he still delivers people from sin. Amen. Amen. And so you know this morning, be assured, if the man of God keeps a coming and keeps sending the message, if you'll get up one day and decide you're tired of being enslaved to sin, you can get out. Amen. I don't know that some people wants to get out. I don't know that you know how good it is when you get out. The Bible said, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and into thy houses. I believe everybody in here has got a fly swatter. Amen. I don't believe nobody likes flies getting in there. Brother, I don't like it if one fly gets in there, let alone two or three. One gets in there, it's troublesome. Three or four gets in there, I'll stop eating. I mean, something's got to be done. Get them out of the house, kill them, and get rid of them. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When God sends something to get our attention, you'll stop what you're doing because God will get your attention. Amen. He got Pharaoh's attention. You know what's amazing about this? He didn't say, I was going to send a few flies. He said, I'm going to send a swarm of flies. A swarm is a great host. A swarm is a lot of flies. I thought about in Egypt. I've never been there, but I've seen a lot of pictures of dead cattle. Hey, Brother Jason, I've seen dry desert land. Usually if water sits around a long time, it stagnates. I've seen, and I'm sure you have, these little kids trying to drink out of a, like a pond, or trying to scoop water up, and flies been on their nose and their ears on some of these commercials because things stink so bad and there's deadness around and there's nobody taking care of the land, and because of it, flies have infested of their land. Amen. Could you imagine if every time you come in here to church you had flies and you was trying to swat them away? We had thousands of flies in this house. Wouldn't nobody be shouting? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you the truth. You wouldn't shout. You'd be afraid of one fly in your mouth. Wouldn't nobody be rare back singing, Brother Malley? Afraid one might get in their mouth. We couldn't get focused on going to pray because if you was praying, you'd feel something crawling on your ear or on your face, and you'd be having to do that. I know, I've experienced that. I've been outside praying and sweat running down your face and feel something. I get on your face and have to do that, knowing them flies trying to irritate. That's what they're dealing with. The Bible said that God said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there to the end, that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Amen. Inside the house of God's different than out in the world. Amen. I couldn't even hardly hear that amen. I don't know. Maybe our church is just like the world. I hope it ain't. A lot of them are. I can say amen. We ain't got a church like the world, thank God. And we don't have flies in here. And it don't stink in here. We've got some cleanliness and some godliness. And God comes to dwell with us. Amen. If they wasn't people cleaning, it would get to smelling in here. And there would be flies. God said, I will sever. I looked that word up and it means to separate. He said, I'm going to separate the land of Goshen. And it's not going to be like the land of Egypt. And when the swarms of flies come in, they're going to get in the land of Egypt, and they're going to get in every house. They're going to get in every place. And they're going to begin to be a nuisance and a Pharaoh. But he said, I'm going to sever the land, which means he said, I'm going to make a division. And he said, there'll be no flies entering over in Goshen. Amen. There's some things in the world that do absolutely stink. There's things people's doing in the world that absolutely stinks. I remember one time a man that had preached the script over there. I'm sure you've heard it read. Sure you've read it many times, Brother Mallory. He said, sin lieth at the door. You ever had trash laying right outside the door? Long enough, your wife set it outside the door and so I need you to carry it down to the can the first day, you miss it. Second day, you miss it. Third day, you miss it. By the time you leave it 2 or 3 days and it starts stinking, I'm going to tell you what else is right on the outside of the doors, flies. Amen. Not only do you have trash now, but you've got flies right on the outside the door. And you can't go in or out without the flies getting in the house. Amen. We ought not have sin even near the church. Amen. We ought to get it right before we get here. So when sinners come to the house of God, they can get saved. Amen. We have too much sin hanging around the church. It's going to cause flies. You might not ever put this two together, but I've just been meditating on this. If we really had a bunch of literal flies in here, I probably might leave early. If it got bad enough, Brother Mallory. You can't enjoy yourself when something's irritating you. Now I want you to, I'm trying to get to something here and I don't know how to really get it plain. But I believe maybe everybody here this morning's got something in your life that's irritating you. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a lack of funds. Maybe it's something that somebody said. Maybe it's something somebody didn't say. And because of that, we're being irritated in the service. And that's why there's just a few people that seem like they can enjoy when they go to the house of the Lord. They're not letting these things hinder them from worshiping God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If I got some good enough eating in front of me and a fly gets around too many times, I'm going to kill him so I can finish eating. Amen. Are you that way? When something hinders you bad enough, you get rid of it instead of putting up with it. He said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. The next verse, he said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. And tomorrow shall this be a sign. He said, I want you to know that I'm going to sever between the two lands. and I'm going to put a division between my people and your people. You're going to know there's a difference between my people and your people. And I want you to know there's going to come a day of separation where God separates the good from the bad, the saved from the lost, the goats from the sheep. Brother, today there's a difference between the world and God's people. Amen. And the world's putting up with the flies. And I ain't going to put up with them. I've sat there and eat with people that lets flies land right on their food. And then they'll just fly it away and they'll eat. I ain't going to get too much into this because maybe nobody will eat anymore. One of my kids did a report on flies and they said every time a fly lands, he lays eggs. And I'm not going to get too graphic with this, but everywhere you go where there's horse dung and cow manure, you'll find flies. That's the waste, the nasty stuff that's no good, and you'll find flies there every time. So I wonder why sometimes we have house flies near our house. Boy, it's quiet, ain't it? You ain't going to find flies in a spotless house that smells like bleach. It's just been mopped most of the time. Something is around that house, whether it's a dead dog, dead possum, dead squirrel, a pool that hadn't been cleaned, a trash can that hadn't been emptied. But there's something around that house that's attracting flies. Can I say this morning, as God's people, we need to get rid of the stuff that's attracting flies at our house and don't bring it to the house of God. This house needs to be clean, amen. This house needs to be clean. And the world ought to know it's clean. They shouldn't sense flies and they shouldn't smell a stink. You know what the Bible said when we was worshiping God? He said, there's a sweet smelling savor come up. I've never seen a fly land on my wife's good smelling candles. Ever. I've never seen a fly land on potpourri. I could be wrong, but I ain't seen it. Nothing good. But what attracts them is bad smell and nastiness and odors. I think some of us, I know if you're not saved, you're carrying around a bunch of garbage. And if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you're carrying around a dead carcass ever since you got saved. So you're drawing flies. We're bringing that in the house of the Lord. Let me just start off by saying, if you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Amen. The Lord was baptized, you need to be baptized. Hey, I don't want to join the church. I hope this don't offend nobody. But he said, what hindereth thee from being baptized? And nobody said, hey, he needs to join the church. That's what the Baptist says. But the Word of God said, what hindereth thee from being baptized? And he said, do you believe? He said, yeah, I believe. He said, then all we need is some water. I've had a few people ask me, I ain't had nobody hoping to it yet. But I've had them say, Brother Jeff, would you baptize me? I said, yeah, I'll baptize you. You ever been saved? You believe? The Lord died and rose again? Yes. Well, I'll baptize you. Well, some people says you got to join the church. I said, well, you didn't ask some people, you asked me. And I'll baptize you. And I'm saying that here today. I don't fear what God, what man thinks. But we ought to fear what God thinks. He said we ought to please God rather than men. Amen. Somebody believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and they've been saved and they won't be baptized. Somebody ought to baptize them and get rid of that old man. Amen. I'm about done. I knew I wouldn't be long this morning. I want to show you something. Verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go. Whole time they've been trying to let them go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. Not going to let you go.
There's a lot of things in this world. Sometimes my body gets not feeling too good, Brother Mallory. He says, I ain't going to let you go to church. Sometimes our bosses will throw up the things and they say, hey, I need you to work. And they won't let you go to work. They won't let you come to church. Sometimes things will hinder you from studying your Bible or praying. They won't let you do what you want to do. And all Pharaoh was a picture of hindrances, of keeping God's people from getting where they could serve God. That's what they wanted. They said, would you let God's people go so they can serve you, serve Him? That's what they wanted, Brother Tony. Listen, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and entreat for me. Here's a man that's been a hindrance and a nuisance. And on his last little statement here, he says, entreat for me. That don't mean go pick up a treat. That means when y'all go talk to the Lord and you carry a sacrifice down there, I want you to pray for me. Now I'm going to show you what living right and doing what God wants you to do when you pray will do for you. Moses said, I'll pray when I get down there to the sacrifice. I'm going to pray for you, Pharaoh. And I'm going to pray that God remove these swarm of flies out of your house, out of your servant's house, out of the land. I'm going to pray for you. Y'all believe God hears prayer? Listen to this. So the Bible said, Moses said, behold, I go out from thee and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, his servants, from his people tomorrow. Let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, which meant he went out and he prayed to God. And listen to this. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. And there remained not one. Now that's a good picture of power in prayer. One minute you got a swarm of flies more than you can count. They're in everybody's house. They're in the land. They're in every servant's house. They're everywhere. They're in the chairs. They're all over the place. And Moses prays to God and he said, every fly left. There was not even one fly left. Amen. Right now, everybody's sitting there like, where are you going with this, Brother Jeff? You remember when you prayed and you asked God to save you? And he didn't even leave one little bitty sin. He got rid of all of them. He got rid of everything. If you've never been saved, you need to be saved. If you got flies in your life, you need to get rid of them. God has the power to get rid of sin and flies and filthiness. Amen. You ain't going to hear us preach too much today. Best on a Sunday morning. This ain't a message people usually come to church to hear about filthy flies. But I'm going to tell you something. Even God used flies. And this is some good news right here, and then I'm done. I don't care how bad you think you've lived. I don't care how bad your life stinks. I don't care what hog pens you wallered in. Old prodigal son was down there at the hog trough, and I've been down there before, and there's usually plenty of flies down there to go with it. Maybe some of the flies falling back to the house, Brother Nick. That didn't hinder his daddy from going and getting the best robe. Yes, daddy let him come in, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe he went there and took a bath and got to smelling good. They had apothecaries in that day. A lot of people don't know what apothecary is. And I ain't seen this in a long time. I almost wanted to go in and talk to this lady. Every time me and Nick, Tony, and I guess Brandon, them, anybody that comes to church up 278, they got an apothecary on the corner right up there by the bowling alley now. J. Y'all know that's got apothecary across the front. And I wanted to go in there a few times and say, you study your Bible, do you go to church? Because the only place I've ever read the word apothecary is in the Word of God. Went through 12 years of school and never heard about the apothecary. Did any of you? Did any of y'all ever learn about the apothecary? Perfume maker. Medicine man. If you'd have it. And it's a drugstore and they got apothecary across the front of it. There's one scripture in the Bible said that the apothecary went to make a sweet smelling ointment. Then there was dead flies that got in the ointment. The Bible said this, that one sinner destroyeth much good. Do you know everybody in this house could come in trying our best to do everything we can to see people saved? And we can have one dead fly among us. It just ain't going to straighten up and ain't going to do right. And they can get in the service and they can hinder and they can irritate and they can cause problems. And that sweet smelling savor, if you don't believe me, just try it one day. And I know it's a bit expensive way of checking something out. Take some of that perfume or that cologne you pay about $50 for a bottle for. That stuff's got expensive. I used to go to Walmart and get something for $19.99. Now it's $29.99 even at Walmart. You get some of that and you put it on, and the more you pay for it, the longer it'll hold in there. That's how you know it's the good stuff. You pay $100 for it and you put perfume on in the morning when you go to work. When you come home, your husband's still going to say, man, that smells good. What are you wearing today? And the only reason he's going to say that is because you ain't wearing no $19.99 perfume. It won't last all day. Amen. That's a great price paid for the sweet-smelling savor that Christ give us, amen. But you can take one dead fly, pop him on the table and kill him. Put him over in your cologne or your perfume and shake it up. Let it sit there about a day or two and then you try it. You ain't going to get no comments about how good you smelling, I promise you. It don't take much, and I'm going to tell you why. When you study this out, in perfumes and things, think about this. Sometimes there's 3.7 ounces. And they'll put like 1 ounce of this and 1 ounce of that and half an ounce of this and a tenth of an ounce of that. And they do all this and they fine-tune it to make it smell good. You might not believe this, but this is what I believe. It takes a little bit of your part and a little bit of my part and a little bit of somebody else doing it and somebody else praying and somebody else shouting to come together so we can have a sweet smelling savor in this building. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But you can take one thing that's rotten and put it in there and it'll ruin that good smell. I'm not too much on fruit. I do eat it. But I'll tell you something I've noticed before. Y'all come on, Brother Nick. Y'all get a verse of song together. How many of you lets fruit sit around your house? In a little basket, you eat it, or on the table or on the counter. Go pick up some bananas or apples or pears. We've always got something like that around the house. And I can tell when one of them's starting to get bad. We can go months and months and months. And I can go in the kitchen every day and not have a problem. And all of a sudden, one day I can go in there and go to get something, and I see something a little flying, and I think I just saw something, you know. But if I don't really pay close attention and I go back in there the next day, now there's like 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 flying. And I'll tell them, and I'll say, something's rotten in here. It's gnats. We'll get looking around, and usually it's one of them fruit laying a certain way. I've had this happen before. I didn't do this as a test because I won't leave stuff laying around this long. But you can take something, Brother Randy, and it'd be rotten. When you do finally find it, you can go to pick it up and you'll tell how the one that was the worst, maybe on the top or outside, it's almost eat completely up underneath. Just all stinking smelling. But every piece of fruit it's touching, it's just starting to get nasty. It's starting to turn. I don't want to rub elbows with anybody that's rotten. Amen. I don't want to rub elbows with preachers that's rotten or singers. And they sum out that I was preaching a reading this morning about false prophets and teachers in the land. We better be careful, make sure what they're preaching is the truth and what they're teaching is the truth and that they love you and that they want to see you saved. Amen. If you don't, you might find yourself turning rotten. Because you're leaning up against somebody that's rotten. And I'm going to tell you something. Even those that are rotten. I promise you I'm about done right here. I keep saying it, but I am done right here. On the bottom side, it can be totally rotten, Brother Brandon. But on the top, before you grab it, it looks good. Most of the time when the Bible, when he's warning them of false teachers and preachers, he said, be aware of wolves in sheep's clothing. On the top, they look like a sheep. But when the sheep cover falls off of them, you're going to find out you ain't got a hold of a wolf. This is why I preached this morning. I feel like with the Lord's help. There ain't a person in this house that ain't got a little something going on in your heart that could attract flies if we don't get rid of it. I like the old statement said, nip it in the bud. Years ago, a man said that, and I laughed and thought about it many a time. Nip it in the bud, nip it in the bud. And he was being a joke about it, but really we do need to nip sin in the bud. We need to get rid of it as quick as we can. The song that Jeff Hathcott and him used to sing, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. If you don't get rid of it, it's going to cost you something. If you don't get rid of it, it'll attract flies. And I don't believe anybody in here truly wants flies to be found at Welcome Grove Baptist Church. You know that was a judgment God brought against Pharaoh. And I really believe spiritually if God did that to us, it'd be because something was going on here he didn't like, wasn't pleased with. I want to rise to our feet this morning. Maybe you're here and you just need to pray. Get the things out of your life. Draw closer. You're here and you're not saved. Whatever the case may be today. How about it? Why don't they sing whatever verse of songs on their heart this morning? How about it? I need to pray. Need to get things cleaned up in my life so that I don't attract flies. I won't be close to you, Lord. I won't be found being drawn closer to you. Lord, have your way. Thank you, Lord.